Is Jesus Christ the only way to heaven? Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell reveals the answer of how you can know you have eternal life.
And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that's the real healing, the healing of a soul, the forgiveness of sin. And so we must understand this morning, it's not enough to hear the truth, but we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. More important than seeing the light is believing. More important than hearing the gospel is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ.
The challenges of life can leave you looking for answers that only Christ can provide. In our series, Only Jesus, we'll explore what the Bible says about who Jesus is and why you must make Him the Savior and Lord of your life. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. The truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is more than a simple historic fact to know. It is the hope of every believer. Through Dr. Chappell's clear and engaging message, you will understand what the Bible says about Jesus Christ, why it matters to you, and how you can apply these truths to your life today. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part one of a message called, Only Jesus is the Light of the World.
This morning, let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. As we continue our series, Only Jesus, we're learning about the attributes and characteristics that are only attributable to Jesus Christ. And today, we're going to see that Jesus Christ alone is the light of the world. John chapter 9, join with me in verse 4, where Jesus says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Today we want to learn about our Savior, the light of the world. And we find as we look at the passage before us that Jesus had just been rebuffed by the Sadducees and Pharisees. They had just rejected His teaching. In fact, He had said concerning His deity in chapter 8 and verse 58, before Abraham was, I am, meaning He was the everlasting God. Jesus Christ did not begin His life in Bethlehem's manger, but He is eternal God. Nevertheless, when He said that, the Pharisees were very disgruntled to the point in verse 59 that they would cast stones at the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, whenever you take a stand for Christ or desire to worship Christ or speak up for Christ and someone rebuffs you, remember, it started with your Savior. We must not take it so personally along the way. Jesus continually declares His deity. Continually He is being rejected by the children of Israel. And yet as we open the Word of God, we see that Jesus Christ on this day is passing by a man that was blind. In fact, if you'll notice in verses 1 and 2, it says, as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The disciples thought perhaps the reason this man was blind was that there was some sin in his lineage. And I think we learn a lesson today that we ought not to judge that when someone is going through a difficult time, that perhaps there's sin in their life. Sometimes that is true, but not always. And in fact, Jesus said in verse 3, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. In other words, God has a purpose for this sickness. God has a purpose for this trial. I think in general, we need to be careful about judging others. I remember the story of a young couple, and they had just settled in their house. The young lady was looking out of her window, and she noticed that there was a lady in the next yard, and this is back when they would hang up their laundry for drying. And she said to her husband, she said, look at how filthy that lady's laundry is. It's just filthy. She doesn't know anything about caring for a house. And a few days later, the same thing. She said to her husband, look at that lady's laundry. It's just filthy. Why, they must not be very clean people. And she had kind of a spirit of looking down upon her neighbor. And a few days later, she looked out and she said to her husband, "Well, look at that. That laundry is clean and sparkly." And her husband said, "Yes, sweetheart, it is, because I cleaned your dirty window for you yesterday." You know, sometimes when we're looking at what's wrong with someone else's life, we need to make sure and understand that we don't have everything together either. And the disciples, they saw a man that was blind from his birth, and they thought it must have been because there was sin in his life. But Jesus said, no, there was a foreordained purpose in this situation. And that purpose was that we all, even today, might learn about the nature of Christ and about his characteristic as the light of the world, the spiritual illumination of Jesus. I want you to notice in this passage today the message of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day." You see, Jesus Christ came to show the works of the Father. His message was a heavenly message. His work was the work of his Father. And the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, "And he said unto them," speaking of the earlier portion of his life, "he said unto his parents, how is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" You see, from the earliest moments in the life of Christ until these moments leading to the cross itself, he was on a heavenly timetable doing the will of his Father. It was an obedient work. The heart of Jesus, John 6 and 38, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Jesus Christ, who had all power, who created the world, nevertheless was following the will of his Father step by step. It was an obedient work. It was an urgent work. The Bible tells us in verse 4, "I must work the works." Someone might say, "Pastor, why is there such an emphasis on witnessing, on assembling, on singing? Why is there such an urgency?" Because we are merely, as this church, the expression, the extension of Jesus, who said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day." You see, we as God's people must have that same holy urgency today. The Bible speaks of it in John chapter 4, if you'd like to look there this morning. John chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest? For behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white already unto harvest." And my friend, I would remind you today, there are people that need Jesus, people in rest homes, people living in every corner of this community who need to know Jesus. And Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me." May we not allow this time of social distancing to create a lethargy in our heart so that we lose a holy passion to let others know of the love of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus was on an obedient mission, an urgent mission, and he was doing a saving work. You see, the Bible says in Luke 19 and verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." You see, that little blind young man that Jesus walked by and whom the disciples were so quick to judge, he was someone that needed salvation, and Jesus knew it. It was the will of God for his life. Oh, I'm glad that I have a heavenly Father who loved us so much that he sent down the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived with such certain passion to get the gospel to you and to me. And so we see very clearly this morning the message of Christ to his disciples. He said, "I must show the Father's will. I must do the Father's will." And secondly, he said, "I must shine in a fallen world." I must shine in a fallen world. Notice in verse 5, we read, the scriptures say, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus declaring himself as the light of the world. John chapter 8 and verse 12 says this as well. It says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." John 12:46, I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. Maybe you're abiding in darkness today, and maybe everything you think about is dark or sinful. The games you play on the computer, the jokes you tell at work, the thoughts that you have in your mind. But Jesus Christ wants to shed holy light into your life, saving light into your life. He is the light of the world, and when you walk in Him, darkness will not be what is cast, but light will come forth into this world that needs to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He was shining as the light of the world. Now, that is a light that Satan does not want to shine. I often think of 2 Corinthians 4:4. The Bible says, "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them who believe not." There are many in our world, many in our state. Their minds are blinded to spiritual things. They do not see the importance of the preaching of the Word of God. They do not see the importance of the edification of the saints, of the sending of the missionaries. They would give as much credence to the faith of the heathen as to the faith of our founding fathers. May I say to you today that we serve a risen Savior, and though the God of this world has blinded the minds of many, the Bible says when that happens, they will not believe on the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God. Oh, while Satan is trying to blind the spiritual minds of so many today, may we be faithful even in this season to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 4:6, the Bible says this, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Has God shone into your heart? I hope He has. If you've accepted Christ, then you're walking in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the message of Christ is simple, that I must show the works of my Father, and I must shine the light of salvation. And I pray that we, as His church, will follow in the steps of Jesus, that we will show the work of the Father, and that we will shine the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And the light that we want this world to see is not ours. It is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shining through us. And this was His message. He said, "I want to show the work of the Father. I want to shine the light that this world needs spiritually." But notice not only the message of Christ, I want you to see this morning the manifestation of that message. I want you to see that Jesus manifests His light before this crowd in John chapter 9. Notice if you would in verse 6, the Bible says, "When He had thus spoken, He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And He said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation, sent. "He went His way, therefore, and washed and came seeing." Now, let's look at this Bible story for just a moment. Jesus Christ, who is the light, by His very nature, dispels darkness. And on this day, He is going to dispel the physical darkness of this blind man. And He manifests His power as the Son of God in healing. He shows forth His power for those who were unbelieving, that they might see His power to heal. The Bible tells us in this verse 6 that He made a little clay and He touches the man's eyes and He says to the man, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam." And the man returned seeing. Oh, listen, it was not the waters of the pool of Siloam that healed the man. It was his obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he was healed, and in healing he showed forth the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also we see that he proved his own faith. In other words, this man was commanded to go and to wash in the pool. And you and I are commanded not to wash in the pool of water, but to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be saved. You see, this man could do nothing to save himself. He could do nothing but obey the message of Jesus Christ. The message to you and to me today is very clear, that whosoever believeth on the Son of God shall be saved. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus could have just touched this man's eyes and he would have seen instantaneously. He could have created eyes on the spot for the man. But he tells him to go somewhere else. Why? Because Jesus is calling for obedience. Jesus is not looking merely for lip service. He's looking for a heart that trusts in him. And may we have a heart to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus manifests his power in healing this man. And Jesus shows us this power in the testimony of this man. Notice in verse 25 of this passage, the Bible says, "And he answered," this man answers, and he says, "Whether I be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." You see, the power of Jesus and the light of Jesus is not only seen in Christ himself, who ordained and fulfilled the healing of this blind man, but it's also seen in the blind man as he begins to testify. And people said, well, he's just a sinner. And he said, whether I'm a sinner or not, I don't know. This is what I know. I was blind and now I see. And my friends, I want you to understand that the light that we show to this world may be the only light they ever see. The light of Jesus through us may be the only light they ever see. And this man was not a theologian. He'd been blind from birth. This man was not highly educated. He didn't know a lot, but he knew this. He knew that once he was blind and now he could see. And if you're a Christian, you know that once you were lost and you were without hope and you had no hope of a home in heaven. But now you have hope and you have Christ. And now you can testify to what Christ has done for you. And when you do that, you are the proof of the power of God. The manifestation of Jesus Christ in the Antelope Valley is his church alive and witnessing and testifying to the great things that he has done for each and every one of us. And so others saw the change in this man's life and he was able to proclaim what God had done for him. Oh, what a tremendous blessing. In fact, I notice in verse 25 that he says, "Whereas I was blind and now I see." You see, here is a man testifying of what Jesus Christ had done, what only Jesus could do. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved." This man met the Lord Jesus Christ. Darkness was dispelled. Illumination filled the air. And it all testifies to the deity of Christ and the power of Christ to change lives even today. This man's life was so changed. I trust that you understand what that's all about, that your life has been changed by Jesus. The Bible says in verse number 30 these words, "The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God, he doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." In other words, this blind man now made whole is preaching himself that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We live in a pluralistic society. We hear from some elected officials and some religious officials that all roads lead to the same place and all religions are the same and Jesus is one of the good gods. Put him right here on your God shelf, they tell us. But my friend, we serve a Savior whose name is above every name. He is high and exalted and lifted up. And even this man most recently healed was able to say, "This is the Son of God." And so we hear the message of Jesus, "I am the light of the world." But we see the manifestation of Jesus. His light changes lives. We see it in the blind man, and may we see it in our own lives as well. Well, I want to conclude this morning by showing you the meaning of this passage. We've seen and we've heard concerning Christ and his message that he's the light of the world, his manifestation that his light dispels spiritual darkness. But what is the real meaning of the passage? And I want you to pick up with me in verse 35 as we see Jesus explaining to us the application today. Jesus heard that they cast him out, speaking of this man that had been healed. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that is talking with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped. You see, all of the miracles in the Bible were not given simply so that someone could say, oh, I experienced this, I experienced that. A lot of people are experiential in their way of thinking, and yet it was more than the experience. The experience was to point to the Savior. And now this man understood. Jesus healed him so that Jesus could save him. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that's the real healing, the healing of a soul, the forgiveness of sin. And so we see the meaning before us. We see, first of all, it is revealed by Jesus Christ. It is revealed in this fact, the Bible says in verse 35, Jesus found the man. I'm so glad that we have a Savior who seeks us. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. He searched for this man, and perhaps he's been searching for you watching today. Perhaps he's wanting to call you unto himself. Perhaps he's been seeking after you in this way, John 20 and 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. No one has life eternal. No one has spiritual life apart from Jesus. Only Jesus can give spiritual life. And so this life that we speak of, this meaning that we speak of, is revealed by Jesus Christ, who's seeking you today. But notice, it's not only revealed by Christ, it is received by faith. Now, it's one thing for Jesus to show himself to this blind man and to say, I that speak to thee am the Son of God. What a wonderful thing that was. Yet, I have seen God's truth revealed to thousands who have said, yeah, whatever, and they've walked away. It's one thing to have the truth revealed to you. It's another thing to do what the blind man did, and he said, I worship you, Lord. I believe that you are the Son of God, and I worship you as the Son of God. This was a man that we would say was truly saved, truly born again. His life was changed by the doctrine, by the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we must understand this morning, it's not enough to hear the truth, but we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see that in verse 38? He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. You see, more important than seeing the light is believing. More important than hearing the gospel is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 10 says, He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, and he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. My friend, do you know that you have eternal life? Is that settled in your heart? Jesus said, I've revealed the truth to you that you might know it. And he says, he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. Now, this blind man, he saw Jesus physically, but he saw him spiritually. He believed, and when he believed, he received everlasting life.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchapel.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.